जानमगुयम भगवतो या एतात् प्रयतो नरः सायं प्रातर घृणान भक्त्या दुखा ग्रामाद विमुच्यते। Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. In this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it has just been described by Srila Suta Goswami, various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After explaining the various principal avatars, a summary of their activities, and the purpose in which they had come to this material world, Suta Goswami is narrating this beautiful verse. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. We find in the world we live, everyone, everywhere, is endeavoring at all costs to get relief from the miseries of this world. In fact, all of science and technology, in essence, is simply directed at trying to get relief from misery. And how much human beings have worked so hard for so many centuries to develop these facilities. We are at this very beautiful and auspicious Ananda Ashram. Let us just look around at what we can see, what we can hear. We see lights. Why did Thomas Edison create the light bulb? And why, after him, has there been so much incredible amount of technology to produce various forms of lighting fixtures? There's only one real reason: to relieve us from the misery caused by darkness. Darkness is a miserable condition. Last night we were in Matunga. There was approximately 500 people crowded in a wonderful hall, and we just had nice kirtan, and everyone was very much happy. And it was time for prasad, which is, of course, the most serious part of the evening. And just when we started serving prasad, all the lights went out. And nobody could see what they were eating, where they were eating, where they were going. And everyone was hoping, when will the lights go back on? And when the lights went back on, we were all relieved from misery. So that is the whole reason why the electric lighting systems all over the world has been created: simply to relieve us from the misery of being in darkness. You know what an inconvenience it is when the electricity goes out in your house. And we have here the sound of automobiles. Why were automobiles created? Simply to relieve humanity from the misery of walking too much. When you have to walk long, long, long distances, or you have to ride on horses, it's very inconvenient. So simply for relief of this suffering, man created the automobile. And we have this fan. Obviously, the fan was created to relieve us from the misery of being too hot. And we have this microphone. The microphone is to relieve us from having to scream and shout and yell and hurt our voices. Of course, when I speak, the microphone increases your misery. But it was created to relieve misery. Practically everything that has been invented by man, medicine, all hospitals, simply to relieve the misery of disease. These overhangings, they have been created to relieve us the misery of sun in the day. And birds making their offerings. And the carpet that you're sitting on has been created to relieve you of the misery of sitting on the hard ground. Krishna says in Gita, Dukalayam Ashaswatam, that this material world is a place of misery. And despite technology and science being on such a high, sophisticated point of development, the miseries of the world are worse than ever. You cannot prevent them. Even if we're fabulously wealthy and we have all facilities, Krishna will give us some disease. Where despite all these things, we're miserable. Or something goes wrong in our mental condition, we're miserable. And all these valuable, precious moments of human existence are being dedicated and sacrificed for the purpose of trying to relieve the miseries of material existence futilely. With no progress. The more they try to create something to relieve misery, the more in the future they create misery. It's like we're talking about all of this electricity. Now they're starting to have these nuclear power plants, which potentially could destroy all life on Earth. This nuclear energy with its waste. And all of these wonderful automobiles that are driving and in the old days, yes, it was a little miserable to walk, but everything was close by, relatively. You'd have to walk maybe 1 hour. So to relieve the misery, you created the automobile. And now you have to sit in traffic jams for 2 hours. This is progress. And while you're sitting in that traffic jam, at any minute, somebody could crash into you and you'll die. And even if nobody crashes into you, while everybody's sitting in their traffic jams, slowly moving along, they're polluting the air with all kinds of exhaust, destroying ozone, threatening life as we know it on the whole planet. And while all this is happening, as every moment ticks by, we are getting old. And old age sets in, and then we're vulnerable to more and more diseases. And then we realize that any moment I am going to die. So what progress is being made? because of a lack of spiritual direction. Prahlad Maharaj has said that this is a society of the blind leading the blind. When blind leads blind, they both fall into the deep, dark ditch of material suffering. And neither of them can help each other to get out. There is nothing wrong with science and technology, as long as we have the proper understanding of how to use these discoveries and these creations for the purpose of actually relieving ourselves of the miseries of the world. And here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana, the process of getting relief from all the miseries of life is given. And it's so easy. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. So simple. You don't have to have all sorts of sophisticated equipment. You don't have to be of any particular category of society. Anyone and everyone can hear and chant the glories of the Lord in the morning and in the evening. And this, in fact, is the only means of relief of misery. The disease of ignorance and illusion is what is causing so much frustration and pain, which expresses itself in violence and envy and basic quarrel and hypocrisy throughout the world. Intoxication. People simply cannot even love each other hardly anymore because of this disease of ignorance. There is only one medicine for this disease within the heart, and that is to remember God. Krishna Smaranam. And the process of remembering Krishna is to hear his glories and chant his names. It is so simple and so sublime. But yet, within our society today, people are so busy making all their grand arrangements for relief of misery that they don't have time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Someone recently asked me a question, and why is the situation of the world like it is today? I prayed to Krishna, please give me an example which will convince this person. So I was thinking, if somebody's drinking polluted water every day, and because he's drinking contaminated water, he becomes diseased, and then he has to work so hard in order to purchase medicine to cure the disease. And you ask him, "My dear sir, why don't you buy good, pure water?" And he says, "Because I don't have time. Because I have to work so hard for this medicine to cure the disease for the bad water I drink." This is human society. The disease is ignorance. The disease is material ways of life, which is causing all our suffering, and we're working like asses, practically foaming at the mouth, trying to just purchase more and more medications or devices to relieve this misery. And when you ask a person, why don't you just live a spiritual life? Then there won't be these miseries. I don't have time. I'm too busy working to counteract the miseries. This is the ignorance of human society. Therefore, it is said that one must hear every morning and evening. Our Guru Maharaj used to tell us that some people, they make very large emphasis on Bhagavat Saptaha, where you go to hear for 7 days the Srimad Bhagavat. But Guru Maharaj used to say, there's very, very little value in that. Because it says in the Bhagavat itself, Nasta praishya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. You must hear Bhagavatam every day, not 7 days a year, or not 7 days every 6 months. It's entertainment. But if you actually want purification, you must regularly, each day, in the mornings and in the evenings, absorb our consciousness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And if the Bhagavat Saptaha inspires us to hear the Bhagavat every day, then it has some real value. Otherwise, it's just like entertainment. We enjoy it, we feel pious, and we go away and merge back into the ocean of material existence. Similarly, when we chant the holy name of the Lord, it must be done every morning and every evening. This is essential if we actually want purification from the disease that's causing all distress in our life. We must be very serious about this. And that is why it is absolutely essential to have the association of devotees. Because without their support, without their blessings, without their friendship, we cannot have the strength to maintain the dignity of our sadhana, by which we are regularly, every morning and every evening, bathing our consciousness in the sound vibration of Krishna. So these are the three most important principles in our entire life: to associate with saintly people regularly, to chant the name of God regularly, every day, and to hear the Srimad Bhagavat, the Bhagavad Gita, every day, regularly. It is described here that one who carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and evening gets relief from all miseries of life. The appearances of the Lord are here described as mysterious. And this is very important, because no one can know Krishna in full by our own progressive intellectual capacities. Krishna is Vibhu. He is unlimited. He is infinite. We are Anu. We are very small. And therefore, even the greatest of all personalities, even the greatest acharyas, the more they know Krishna, the more they realize they do not know Krishna. Krishna is transcendental. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyatva deham punara janma naiti mam eti sorajana. He is completely beyond the limitations of the modes of material nature. And all of his incarnations are similarly of the same quality. Therefore, we can never try to calculate Krishna's activities or his qualities according to our material conceptions. God is achintya in his achintya shakti. He can do anything at any time. He has created this entire cosmic manifestation effortlessly. When he comes to this earth in his various avatars, he reveals various divine pastimes which we cannot judge by our scientific trend of thought. We simply have to accept it with faith. That faith is the ultimate science. Faith in the authority of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. There is a whole deep and divine philosophy behind everything that Krishna has ever done or said in all of his various avatars. To understand this philosophy with faith is real science. To try to speculate and compare Krishna to ourselves is simply ignorance. Sometimes when we narrate the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, Krishna does wonderful things. He reveals the entire universe within his mouth to his mother when he was a tiny child. He lifts the Govardhan Hill. As Lord Ramchandra, when he was in Kishkindha Kshetra, he made allies with Hanuman and Sugriva. And Sugriva said, "We would like to help you find Sita, but I cannot leave this Rishyamukha mountain because my brother Bali will kill me." He said that some time back when I was living in the kingdom with my brother, we were best of friends. He was the king and I was his prime minister. And one day, a powerful demon came and attacked Kishkindha Kshetra. And Bali, my brother, was very, very powerful and fearless. He went out with his own hands to fight this demon. And when this asura saw Bali coming, the demon ran away. And Bali chased him. And this asura ran deep into a cave. And I was alongside my brother. And Bali said that you wait outside this cave. I will go inside and kill the demon. And you wait here till I return. And then I heard nothing. There was silence. For many weeks, I was just standing there. And then I heard terrible, terrible sounds of roaring and screaming. And it sounded as if Rakshasas were destroying my brother. And then I saw from the opening of the cave blood flowing. So I was thinking with a very sad heart that my brother has been killed. So I put a stone in front of the door of the cave to keep the demons inside. And then with a very heavy heart, I went back to Kishkindha Kshetra. And as duty, I was told by ministers that now I must take the throne. But after some time, Bali appeared, and he was very angry. He was thinking that I blocked the door just so that I could take his position as king. You see, this type of competition amongst brothers. He's very old. So Bali decided to destroy me. He started beating on me, and I had to run away. And this Rishyamukha mountain, one time Bali killed one very powerful asura, and he threw the body of the asura. And it came to this mountain where one Matunga Rishi was doing his tapasya with his disciples. And the demon just landed right next to them, and the blood of the demon got all over the great sage Matunga. So he made a curse that foolish monkey that has got us all contaminated by demon's blood, if he ever comes within this area, he will die. So since then I am hiding here. So if you want me to help you to find Sita, somehow or other, we have to get rid of this Bali. Ram said, I will kill Bali for you. But Sugriva, he did not have such faith in Ram. He wanted evidence. One who is truly on the high level of devotion simply accepts the word of God. Hanuman accepted. He had that complete faith. But Sugriva, he said, I have faith in you, but Bali is very strong. And if for some reason you cannot defeat him, then I will be killed. So Ram, he said, you watch this. How far did your brother throw this demon's body? He told him how long. So then Ram effortlessly threw the demon's body many, many, many yojanas farther. And then he took his bow and arrow, and there were 7 tall trees that were standing in a row. Big, gigantic, thick, tall trees. And Ram, he shot an arrow. And that one arrow went through one of the trees, 2 of the trees, 3, 4, 5, 6, went through all 6 of them, pierced effortlessly. Then it went down into the ground, all the way to the center of the earth. Then it went all the way up to the heavenly planets. Then it came down and went right back into his quiver. And he said, do you have any doubt whether I can kill this insignificant Bali? And Sugriva said, I believe you. So Ram says, all right, then you go and you challenge him. Now, let us go back a little. Just see the nature of this world. How easily your whole life could be put in total chaos. And your whole situation in this world can be completely changed beyond your control by a slight misunderstanding. Bali and Sugriva were best of friends. They were loving brothers. They were working together harmoniously. And who was at fault? Neither of them was at fault. Sugriva was simply honestly trying to do what he thought was best. But he was misunderstood. And therefore, from being the prime minister of the kingdom, he was hiding in the jungles, fearing his life constantly. In this world, know that whatever your position and situation is, one slight misunderstanding, even with a loved one, creates total chaos in everyone's life. Huh? What to speak of, a tree can fall on you. A car can hit you. People can light bombs. There could be earthquakes, tornadoes, floods. The nature of this world is that at any moment, everything in your life can be put in disaster. And that's what happened to Sugriva. But then Ram came. And he had faith in Ram. He said, okay, Ram, what should I do? He said, you go and you challenge Vali. And I will shoot him with my bow and arrow. Ah, very good. So he went to Bali, to where his palace was, and he said, Bali, and he started challenging him. And Bali became very angry. Bali was a real Kshatriya. He was fearless. And when a Kshatriya is challenged, he cannot refuse. He must fight till death. So he came running out, and they started fighting, and Sugriva started pounding on Bali, and Bali started pounding on Sugriva, and as they were pounding on each other, Sugriva was getting destroyed. He was getting beat and beat and beat. And Sugriva was waiting. When is Ram going to save me? And he was just practically about to be killed, and finally he just ran away back to Rishyamukha Mountain. And Ram came. So why you ran away? So why you ran away? You said you were going to protect me. You vowed you were going to protect me. I was just about to die. Ram said, because your brothers, you look the same. I couldn't decide which was Sugriva and which was Bali. I was afraid if I may kill you instead. Now, do you think Ram actually could not decide? He's the supreme knower of everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanam ichardina bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedanakashtana. Krishna says in Gita that I know everything, past, present, and future. He's in everyone's heart. He knows every thought, every word, every action of every living being. How could he not know who was Sugriva and who was Bali? He knew. But for the sake of Leela, he pretended to not know. But in the process, before putting Sugriva in the position of getting his supreme mercy and coronating him as king, he first wanted to put him in terrible difficulty. Just to purify him. And the Lord, this is his lila. Whenever we come to him, before he gives us what he promises, first he may take everything away. He may put us in a terrible crisis, and he may make us feel like we're completely forsaken and he's just forgotten about me, or he doesn't care about me. Why is this happening? But he does this on purpose. Because he wants to intensify our devotion, he wants to intensify our faith, and he wants to intensify to the degree we take shelter of him before he fulfills his vow. And what is his vow? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. You always think of me, you become my devotee, worship me and offer homage unto me, you will come to me without fail. This is my promise, my vow. And what does it mean to come to Krishna? It means to enter into the divine lila of Satchit Ananda. Prema, pure love. Mukti, liberation from all suffering, all anxieties, all frustrations forever. That's what it means to come to Krishna. So Krishna puts his devotees, sometimes through terrible conditions of life. But a devotee has faith that this is all just the arrangement of God, because he ultimately wants to give me the best thing. And this is the process by which I qualify myself for the best thing, to accept his mercy as it comes. And this is what happened with Sugriva. Ram had good excuse that I couldn't tell which of you was which. But actually, he wanted Sugriva to get beat up real bad and have to run for his life. And then he had to again show his faith. Ram said, "You go back and fight him again." But this time Lakshman made a little garland out of wild flowers and he put it on Sugriva. And Ram said, "Now because I will know who has the garland, so then I will be able to see." So Sugriva went. And he called Bali again. And Bali's wife, she said, "Don't go, please. I have heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, has made allies with Sugriva. And he is all-powerful. He is the creator and destroyer of all existence. He will easily kill you. You have just defeated him. He's run for his life. Why would he be so foolish to come back unless Ram was protecting him?" And Bali was a Kshatriya. He was not the kind of king that sits in a bomb shelter during war and sends all young, innocent teenagers to the battlefield to get their heads blown to pieces while he makes announcements to the nation on television from his bomb shelter that, "I'm doing the best I can." Huh? He was not that type of king. He was first in the battlefield. So he told his wife, "I'm being challenged. If a Kshatriya is challenged, he must fight. Better to fight and to die than to lose the credibility of my Kshatriya spirit by sitting here out of fear of my enemy." So he went out to fight. And again, he started beating Sugriva like anything, and Sugriva was being completely demolished. And just at the last moment before Sugriva was finished, he was thinking, I'm just thinking, if I was in his position, what would I be thinking? Should I run again? Does he not see my garland? Why is he letting me get smashed? But this time he had enough faith to just stay there and allow himself to get crushed for a while. And then, Bali was dead. Ram shot him from behind in the back. And he was laying there. Looked at Ram. "What? Why you have done this to me? You're supposed to be a Kshatriya. This is the activity of a coward. Why didn't you fight with me face to face? Why hiding behind the tree from the back did you do like this?" He said, "Because I have not done anything wrong. Because Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt, according to the Shastras, deers, tigers and monkeys. And there's no fair and square in hunting. If I wanted to treat you like a human being, I would have to challenge you in face to face, but because you're a monkey, I have a right to shoot you from behind. And you're talking about fair conduct? This is your karma. You took Sugriva's wife and banished him? This is the reaction. And Bali, then he became very devotional. He said, just, this is your great mercy, that I can die chanting your holy name and having your beautiful darshan. Please just take care of my son, Angada. That is my only request. And then he went back to Godhead. Later on, much later on, this took place in Treta Yuga, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling through South India, he saw those same seven tal trees. Because they had been touched by the arrow of Ram, they became immune from old age or death. They were still there in the same form as they were some millions of years before. And as you know, wherever there is life, it is the presence of the soul. So Lord Chaitanya, who was Ram in that previous incarnation, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, according to Shastra, is Chana avatar. He is the hidden avatar of Kali Yuga. One name of Vishnu is Triyuga, which means he appears in three yugas. But the Shastra explains, in Kali Yuga, he appears in the role of a devotee. So Ram came back as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he saw these seven tal trees, he remembered them with great love. And he approached each one of them and embraced them. And as he embraced them, right before everyone's eyes, they saw the tree just take on a spiritual body and go back to Godhead, go back to the spiritual world. So these are the mysterious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, in Krishna's avatar, Narada Muni, such a great devotee. Once he went to Dwarka to visit Lord Sri Krishna. And he went into the palace, the principal palace of Rukmini Devi. And, this palace, how opulent, how luxurious. Everything was made out of gold and silver. There was no lights. There were so many jewels, rubies, emeralds, diamonds, everywhere, that those jewels emanated light to light everything at night. And the finest marbles, and it was something that even the heavenly planets had never seen, how Krishna had constructed Dwarka with the help of Vishwakarma. So Narada came into the bedroom of Sri Krishna, and he was sitting on Rukmini's bed, and Rukmini was fanning him with the chamara. And Krishna immediately got up and embraced Narada, and he put Narada on the bed, on his own seat. And then he got down and washed Narada's lotus feet with water. And he sprinkled the water on his own head, on the heads of his queens. Here is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the controller of everything that exists. But he loves to serve his devotees. It is the perfection of all of his desires to simply express his love to his devotees. who have surrendered everything in his loving service. And then Krishna began to speak all nice words with Narada. And Narada Muni wanted to see what is the greatness of Krishna. He had 16,108 palaces. So he immediately went to another palace. And when he went into the other palace, Krishna was with one of his other queens playing dice, joking with her. And then when Krishna saw Narada, as if he didn't, he said, "Oh, Narada, when did you come? I'm so happy to see you." And he put him down and washed his feet and embraced him and greeted him so nicely. Then he went to another palace, and there Krishna was sitting and having nice prasad with his family, his queens, and his that particular queen and his children. And he got, "Oh, Narada, when have you come?" And he embraced him and sat him down and washed his feet and exchanged nice words with him. He went to another palace, and Krishna was sitting with Balaram discussing how to deliver all pious people in the world. And, "Oh, Narada, ah, Dandavat, when have you come? Please come in." Another place, he was sitting in meditation. Another place, he was performing the Gayatri Mantra. Another place, he was sleeping, resting, just getting up. Every palace he went into, Krishna was doing something different. And in each one, Krishna was appearing so happy and surprised that Narada had come. Hariyo! Sometimes he saw Krishna giving cows to Brahmins. Sometimes he was doing puja. Sometimes he was giving charity of various. Sometimes he was feeding Brahmins food with his own hands. Sometimes some houses he was taking the remnants. Alas, Narada Muni, he was so happy. This is the glory and greatness of Krishna. He's unlimited. He's inconceivable. How he doesn't know I'm here when I just saw him about 16,000 times this today. And how he's so genuinely surprised to see me. And Narada began to smile. How wonderful is Krishna? How mysterious is my Lord? I surrender only to you. And Krishna, in that particular palace, in each palace he was giving Narada gifts. He said, "What can I do?" He said, "I am your servant, Naradaji. You are a great devotee. I am your servant. How can I serve you?" And Narada said, "This is the benediction I ask of you, that wherever I go in my travels, I never forget you, that I always remember you with love. That is the only thing I want. That is the ultimate goal of life, to always remember Krishna with love." And it is explained here in very simple and wonderful language how we can attain this most exalted position of always remembering Krishna with love. With devotion, in the morning and evening, to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. This should be the basis of our life. And such wonderful programs as we're having tonight is the most important element in human society. To come together to spiritually nourish our hearts by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of sincere spiritual people. However times we, many times we remind people of this, is never enough. Because without such satsangs of devotees, we cannot have the real strength and enthusiasm to apply spiritual principles in our life. So the success of coming here this evening is not just that I have heard something nice, but that we apply it to our life. That every day, without fail, we chant the name of God. That every day, without fail, we read something of the Gita or the Bhagavatam or the holy Shastras. And that regularly, as much as possible, we come again and again and again to hear and chant the glories of the Lord amongst the devotees. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata chatvadeham punar janma naiti mameti swarjana. By this endeavor, by this devotional sacrifice in our life, we please Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, he reveals himself to us. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Mahi Mayar Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun. He is the infinite light of the universe that dispels all darkness of ignorance, which is the cause of all suffering and pain. You cannot force the sun to rise. The sun rises of its own will. And Krishna explains, for one who follows this simple and sublime process of regularly hearing, chanting, and associating with his devotees with devotion, he guarantees he will appear like the sun within our hearts and dispel all suffering, all ignorance. He will liberate us from birth and death. Thank you very much.